Nico, are you?
Thank you, EA.
Nico, I'm wondering if there's any chance we didn't have the recording started. If you might be willing to do that as a video presentation, do it again so that we could include that.
I think that sounds amazing, Carol. Let me see what I can get for you.
Yeah, and it can just be an audio if you want to just read it.
Okay.
Yeah, and
also, I'm sorry, Carol, just to interject here, but not interject, but to well, anyways. Yeah. So I think this is a great idea, and Mika, what we could do is we could just because we want to do a presentation to the staff as well that don't know about this, so we can we could also use it for the LSB and then also for the staff in the building. So maybe you and I can just do a video of it. And that way it'll help build more communication. It's a good thing, I think.
Good idea, Antonio. I like it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you to EA. I know that you're managing so much with the meeting. So thank you. Okay. So, our next presentation is from Darlene. Did you have a P&V report, Darlene?
Sure. We had the P&B report open sessions at our last meeting, and I like that Carol's asking for that for each ongoing. The P&B open sessions is what I could share with you. We do share what happens in the closed executive sessions when this LSB is in closed session. The P&B open sessions for the last couple of months since the last report has been focusing on, you'll never guess, the phenomenally strained resources of the whole foundation and what each station is doing, can do to become as self-supporting as possible, which is what is in the very mission statement of Pacifica. Some particulars that everyone knows that the building at the KPFK location is for sale. And I don't know if anybody's read any business reports of late, but the LA retail space market is at a low. Let's just put it that way. It's low. It's not a great time to put more commercial office space, which is what the building is listed as, on the market. But we have been getting bids. There was a super duper almost angel situation of folks wanting the building for media work, and that would include the radio station. But unfortunately, that didn't pan out. But there are offers in negotiation right now to sell the building and move KPFK and the archives and the national office, which is one tiny space, to different locations more suitable to the size of what they need instead of this building, which is getting to be a big vacant space, given what is actually used and needed by our units. The other things that are going on, there have been issues around clarifying and stabilizing what LSBs are given the power to do. Folks jump in and get started on projects, and it's very great to hear what other LSBs are doing, how much some of them are doing in supplemental work for their stations. But then, of course, over-enthusiasm in some cases, and it's had to be spelled out for the LSPs, one, and I think it will be passed around to all the other LSPs, of what authority and power the LSPs actually have. Remember, LSPs are a committee of the national board. They're not independent bodies by any means. It's a little bit like the way all of our stations are operating the license of the foundation. They aren't their own radio broadcast entity. They are operating the license of the foundation. So, it's a little, difficult for people to maybe sort of like Antonio needing to do it, organizational chart for KPFA, understanding what our place is in the overall organization. And a lot of people coming in have their loyalty and interest to their local station, not understanding that that local station is the local face of the Pacifica Foundation, which holds all the broadcast licenses. And we are in the midst of doing some work that hasn't been caught up in a while. We're having an annual evaluation of the executive director that's happening in the personnel committee. The audit committee is ready to go, but there's not money to run an audit. Things are lined up and we'll move forward as soon as a payment can be made to our selected audit body. A couple of other things like that. Committees that are trying to do the work that that they need to do. But again, it's always money. And I'll just say, over the years, it's always been said of the need for money for Pacifica, of the need for funding for each of our stations, our units. We are at the bottom of the bucket. There are barely coins left in the bucket. I would say scary. I'm scared. Perhaps other PMB members wouldn't agree or wouldn't like me explaining it like that. But our LSB, we who are elected by our members have got to do practical on the ground work to support the fundraising for KPFA. It's in our charter of being an LSB. There are a number of things that are in our charter, but we don't actually get our editorial comment here butts in gear to address that part of our charter. And the time has come to do that. So I think that people need to understand, if you want to be a member of the LSB, you've got to be willing to do the work. And thank you, Carol. That's my report and commentary, obviously, on PNB open meetings.
Thank you, Darlene. And who would be next, Carol?
Next, Aki, do you have a report? And I think you had some addition also as well.
Sure. As you know, Renee, the NES is doing amazing job under, you know, tremendous demand on her time. But so the election committee has been trying to sort of help her with getting her job easier, or not easier, but one of the things that we thought about was that cost is, of course, the main factor. And one of the things that we think is important is to make sure that all the members have the email addresses, you know, with their all stations, because the mail-in ballot is very expensive. So one of the motions was to ask Renee to have an audio card to encourage the members to go to the station's website to make sure that their email address is current, so that, you know, they get to vote and they don't have to worry about cost of the mail-in ballot. The another one that we wanted to cover was the in the Fair Elections campaign, we want the PNB to define the term for slander and defamation, so all the candidates are well aware of what that is before we get into the height of the campaigning. And one motion that was brought up by one member was because Spanish uses a lot more words than English, that could they have more words than 500 words in their campaign statement? And that vote just simply was a tie, so that didn't pass. But those are the kind of, motions that we consider in the elections committee. But at the, I wanted to cede my time to Zach Caldevia because he has something to say about the situation at Pacifica that is very relevant. So if that's okay, I want to cede my time to Zach.
Yes, that's fine, Aki.
Yeah, thanks, Aki. Some of you might be aware, but about 3.5 weeks ago, I was contacted by Jeff Cohen, the founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and also one of the founders of Roots Action, which is a national online political organization. And he had the idea of, in coordination of me writing an op-ed to try to really convince progressives or persuade progressives to get more involved in Pacifica's future, whether it's becoming members, whether it's running for office themselves, or voting. And in coordination with that op-ed, Roots Action agreed that they would do a blast to the 5 areas where there are stations and encourage people to help Pacifica at this time of grave importance. So the op-ed was published in a few spots, and Roots Action put that op-ed out about a week before this election. Carol said maybe I just read a few clips from it. I hope that's okay with everybody. I certainly...
That's fine, sir.
Okay. I'll leave out any of the parts that just get into the details about how to run and how to give money. But here's the op-ed. America's corporate news media have become integral to the perpetuation and expansion of the corporate state. Right-wing media cloak themselves in the guise of news, masquerading as journalists while sacrificing truth at the altar of corporate profit, white supremacy, and neo-fascism. Mainstream corporate news outlets don costumes of their own, proclaiming objectivity while peddling false equivalencies and censoring peace and justice issues not only by what they choose to cover, but what they choose not to. One dependable source of fact-based information in this post-truth era has been independent radio. When done right, radio informs and builds trust. This is what Pacifica Radio, encompassing 5 stations and over 200 affiliated local radio stations, has so ably done for decades. But the network is now on life support. The Pacifica Foundation was created 75 years ago to foster peace through informed dialogue, serving as a commercial-free venue for independent and dissident ideas and voices. Unflinching, unapologetic, and critical coverage of the most important issues of the 20th century, including the House Un-American Activities Committee witch hunts, the Iran-Contra hearings, and the women's LGBTQ, environmental, civil rights, and anti-Vietnam War movements, all helped reshape America's political landscape in a progressive direction. This legacy has continued unabated in the 21st century. Programs like Democracy Now!, Letters in Politics, Against the Grain, Democracy at Work, and Flashpoints help create an informed citizenry, the lifeblood of a functioning democracy. Unlike in corporate media, the surveillance state, the Iraq invasion and endless war, corporate power, climate justice, Black Lives Matter, and so many other issues and movements are given their deserved attention and honest, contextualized coverage by these iconic shows and many others that air on Pacifica. Pacifica's broadcast signal can still reach over 60 million daily potential listeners, giving it the capacity to have an enormously positive impact on our country and world. But despite the consistent audience growth for publicly funded stations, progressive podcasts, and online news outlets, Pacifica is now on the brink of insolvency. With stations in five of the largest media markets in the country, listenership hovers under 0.25%, and its donor base has cratered from over 120,000 donors in 2007 to about 35,000 today. The reasons for Pacifica's decline are many and complex, but solvable. If we fail to save it, the odds are Pacifica will be acquired by right-wing extremist groups or evangelical Christian stations. Such a tragedy could further threaten democracy. I serve in the Bay Area as KPFA local station board member. There are several major challenges facing Pacifica that demand good candidates willing to serve the network, engage in the debate over its future, and ensure it continues to adhere to its mission statement. One, keep Pacifica corporate free. Due to Pacifica's budget crisis, the network has initiated a complex commercial underwriting pilot project, which some stations have unfortunately embraced. At KPFA, we have successfully blocked any corporate infiltration of our airwaves. All Pacifica stations should follow suit by banning all corporate underwriting. PBS exemplifies the insidious effect big money can have on independent news, resulting in the avoidance of controversial issues that undermine the corporate status quo and ever more programming aimed at upscale audiences, all while interspersed with corporate logos and slogans. We cannot be critics of the corporate state while simultaneously depending on its money for survival. The integrity of the messenger is fundamental to the credibility of the message. Two, modernize and evolve. Paramount to Pacifica's survival and expansion is to keep pace with the emerging communication technologies of the digital age, like YouTube, podcasts, social media, and others, to reach new and younger audiences on new platforms. This evolution remains largely unrealized. Three, democratize Pacifica elections. The current structure allows the majority of Pacifica National Board directors to come from smaller and even dysfunctional stations. We need national board members who will help protect staff contracts, pensions, licenses, buildings, and tax-exempt status, all of which are now at risk. We need more functional local boards that represent and are directly accountable to the listeners. Four, protect and expand investigative news. KPFA is the only station in the network that has maintained a full news department. To survive, Pacifica must offer uncensored, fact-based news and coverage that includes in-depth reporting and analysis. By strengthening and deepening our local news and public affairs, we provide a clearer and more direct contrast with for-profit media and their failings. Okay, last two sentences. In an era dominated by giant media monopolies and right-wing power brokers, it's up to us to ensure Pacifica continues to be one of our nation's most respected and independent news sources, covering much of what corporate media ignore. When armed with the truth, informed people become more active, caring citizens about the issues that really matter. I urge you to join this effort and help protect Pacifica, save independent radio, amplify community voices, and build a progressive movement. That's the end.
Thank you very much, Zach. It's great to get you. Got a lot in a short amount of words, so good job there. And reaching out to the public, and we certainly do need to do all we can to raise money now. And that's what one of our members just did that Darlene was commenting on. So I think that's really important to get out there and try to get people to give to a noteworthy cause. So thank you very much, Zach.
Zach, I get the Roots Action mailings, and that was just like breathtaking to see. And I'm sorry I didn't comment on it to you when I saw it, but it was fabulous.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker is Sharon Adams, who will be presenting about the finances. She is the treasurer of the KPFA Local Station Board.
Here. Yes, sorry, I did not quite realize I was up next. Okay, hello everybody. Yes, okay. Some of the things I, Darlene, mentioned already, but I'll just go with what has been discussed at the National Finance Committee meetings in open session, of course. Okay, so we get reports from the executive director at these meetings, and the executive director, oh, I'm just going to go through some of the topics, not necessarily in any particular order, just how they are in my notes. Okay, so one of the things that was discussed at the last NFC meeting was that the executive director was talking about a national fund drive because there are so many debts, which Darlene talked about, the audit. We need to pay for the audit. Well, that means we need to pay the auditors to do the audit, and then we need to pay for the election. And one of the other things that was specifically mentioned was health benefits. And I was surprised, actually, at the meeting that there was talk of having a national fund drive to pay for health benefits at some of the stations. And so, of course, KPFA always pays its health premiums, which I mentioned during the call. And then the executive director responded by clarifying that KPFA, KPFT, Texas, KPFK, Los Angeles, and the archives have all paid their health benefits. So there are unpaid health premiums for WBAI, WPFW, and the affiliates. So there was some discussion about having a national fund drive for health benefits at other stations. And of course, because of the discussion, you know, then, okay, well, we'll, you know, maybe the national fund drive will be for the election or for the audit. But as we all know, money is fungible, and that is a large debt, the health benefits that must be paid. So I am into facts and numbers, as I've said many times, and WBAI in particular cannot cover its health benefits, and it has been running, that station has been running a deficit for over a decade, They are currently in deficit. They are going to be in deficit. And, well, that is the situation when we talk facts and numbers, whereas that is not the situation at KPFA. It is often mentioned, it has been mentioned during the National Finance Committee meetings, that KPFA has a large payroll. And when Pacifica as a whole talks about how it needs to cut expenses, one way to cut expenses that is has been mentioned at the NFC meetings is to cut payroll at KPFA, because of course we're all one big family. So I wanted to mention that. The audit. I wanted to just explain, that's my next subject, so switching subjects now to the audit. Darlene mentioned a little bit about it, and I wanted to say that audited financial documents are one of the requirements of maintaining Pacifica's nonprofit status. It's just a requirement to have audited financial documents so that donors know there's not fraud, and it's just required. So we do have audited financial documents up through fiscal year 21, and we need to do for the audited financials for fiscal year 22, even though we are in 23, that's what we need to work on now. And there's not enough money to pay the auditors to do that. So one of the reasons there is no money to pay the auditors or any of these expenses is one reason stations are not paying their central services fees, because what people need to understand is how the national office works is the only way they get money is from the stations. So stations must pay their central services payments, and then the national office has the money to pay the auditor, to pay, you know, the election supervisor, all the other expenses that are out there. So when most stations are not paying their central services payments, then the national office does not have the funds to, of course, pay these bills. And so one thing on the aged payables I want to comment, which is another subject I will be talking about, but the aged payables do not even include the central services fees that are owed to the national office. It's not even included in the aged payables, which I will talk about later. Okay, next topic, the FJC loan. As maybe some of you know, the terms of the loan require quarterly interest payments of approximately $50,000. The interest payment that was due on March 30th was not made. The interest payment that was due on June 30th was not made. Apparently, and this was in open session, apparently FJC is not taking action because of the sale of the KPFK building. Hopefully will be used to pay them back, so that they're holding off on that basis. So moving on to the KPFK building sale, Darlene also mentioned that a little bit. Apparently there's three outstanding offers, which is fantastic news. And Pacifica has made counter offers, and then hopefully those will go through. So that all could be very, very good news. Summit K do wish to prevent the sale of that building, and that was also mentioned at the NFC meeting. But another person from K that was also at the NFC meeting noted that the building is in huge disrepair in Los Angeles and that it was basically empty most of the time. Okay, so now moving on to the aged payables. The executive director has said in the, at the last NFC meeting, she said there was $2.3 million in aged payables. And then the penultimate, I love that word. She said there was $2.3 million aged payables. And then at the last NFC meeting, she said that there was aged payables of $2 million. So it's not clear. Somewhere around $2 million of the aged payables, of which the largest bills are the health benefits, the audit, and the election. These aged payable numbers do not include amounts owed to Pacifica's general counsel. For some reason, those weren't included, and I have asked for those to be included in the aged payables. Several months ago, the general counsel's outstanding bills to Pacifica was $150,000, so it's likely more now, and that would be in addition to the $2 million of aged payables. And as I said before, the aged payables don't include central services fees that are owed to the national office. Okay. Let's see. I mentioned this at the last meeting, but it was kind of rushed at the end, so I wanted to go over the central services payments again. So generally what people at stations have, you know, the payments that are made to the national office, the central services payments are generally at 15% of revenue. And that was what, there's so many, you know, details around that, but I'm trying to keep it relatively straightforward here. So let's just say 15% was what it was. And, what the NFC did a couple meetings ago was decide to change that rule so that distressed stations, their central services obligation is 8% instead of 15%. And, of course, distressed stations weren't named, but, you know, WBAI, KPFK, I'm not sure what other ones they would have included in there. So their central services payments will be at 8%. Now, of course, WBAI in particular doesn't often pay. It doesn't pay its full central services payments frequently. And so I just want to go through this a little bit because basically it's an effort to make WBAI's books look better. It doesn't change the finances in any way. And this is what we on the NFC spend our time doing. That's all it was intended to do was to make their books look better. In my opinion, that's my opinion. Okay. Because instead of WBAI owing Pacifica 15% of its gross revenue, it owes Pacifica 8% of its gross revenue. So the fact that it's not paying remains the same, but the amount that it owes Pacifica is less, which has the ultimate effect of making WBAI's books look better. And anyone that's interested, it has been mentioned before, you know, WBAI owes Pacifica $8 million. That's in the audited financial statements. So, you know, there's reasons to try to, you know, obviously that debt will be going up in the next audited financial statements if they're ever done. And, you know, there's motivation on their side to keep that from happening. And I don't like to use the word their side. And I know people will say, oh, bashing WBAI. But what I always say is I just talk facts and numbers. That's all I'm talking. So those are the facts, except for the part I said was my opinion. Bank consolidation, moving on to a new subject. Bank consolidation is the new topic on the NFC and apparently on the PNB as well. So keeping in mind my previous somewhat editorial comments about stations, there's an ongoing discussion regarding bank consolidation. This would mean that Pacifica would control all bank accounts, and KPFA would lose control over its own bank accounts. Now, the issue is currently being discussed in terms of fixing cash flow problems at, you know, I'm not sure. Let me just say the representative from WPFW on the NFC call mentioned that they have problems sometimes coordinating their bills and their expenses and things getting paid. So there's an issue with check requests and getting the check request submitted in, knowing that there's the funds to pay them, and then having them done, and doing that in an orderly fashion so that bank accounts don't get overdrawn. Okay, that is a current issue, and that should be resolved. However, that does not need to be resolved by having access to KPFA's bank accounts, because KPFA is doing perfectly fine with paying its bills and having control over its own bank accounts. So I just wanted to alert people to this because it is, as I said, the new hot topic within the NFC and also on the PNB. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Sharon, for that very elucidating report. My understanding is they also wanted to consolidate credit card and brokerage accounts, which would be very difficult to trace. Is that correct?
I have heard that, but I was not discussed specifically at the NFC meeting, so I'm just trying to keep in with what was discussed, but I have heard that is also being talked about.
It was at the 627 meeting discussed by Stephanie, our executive director.
Okay, thank you then. Sometimes I don't have all my notes, but yeah, okay.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you. It gets complicated.
Yes, there's a lot.
There is indeed. And Carol, who would be next?
Were you going to make a LSB report, and then I have a brief report?
Yes, I'll give a report that we wrote up before. I just wanted to make a statement that one of the main concerns that we've always had, one of our main selling points for KPFA and underpinnings for it, is that we do not take any kind of underwriting. And that we tell our donors all the time, every fundraiser, and it's a main concern of our donors for sure. I mean, it's been stated many times. So there's a commercial underwriting pilot project that's been discussed at the Pacifica National Board. They passed an underwriting motions in January of 2023, the Pacifica National Board, as an approach to increase revenue in the face of extreme financial crisis at two of the stations. Pacifica's shift to sponsored commercial underwriting, and this is our position, is dangerously naive about the dangers of corporate and government influence on programming, does not take into consideration the money and staff time needed for implementation, does not address the core issue of low listenership related to programming quality at financially failing stations. Government underwriting at WBAI. At a February 2023 Pacifica Governing Board Finance Committee meeting, WBAI managers described how they get money from the municipal government of New York City in exchange for announcements. WBAI has plans to solicit funding from New York State. Further, they are asking New York City Council members, 75% of whom had been on WBAI, to spend their discretionary funds on WBAI. The concern about this is that WBAI's financial dependence on sponsorship from politicians, city and state officials, may undermine non-biased coverage of issues such as police brutality, health, housing, and political elections. It has been reported that the government sponsorship spots decrease funding for listener donations. The threat to KPFA. At the February 25th PND meeting, a director talked about WBAI's underwriting, stating, quote, that has to be exploited at other stations, end quote. This appears to contradict Pacifica's policy that each station can decide if they want underwriting. Pacifica's Programming Council. Pacifica's Strategic Planning Committee that oversees the underwriting project is also recommending more Pacifica control of programming at all stations. That may include Pacifica monitoring all shows and forcing Pacifica national programming on all stations with Pacifica-wide fundraising. Some of these plans are centered at WBAI. Many of WBAI's long-running shows have almost no monthly donors or have questionable content and fundraising practices. And although some have apparently been on, quote, forever and ever, end quote, the programming director stated that they are, quote, not going to just go in there and take everything off the air that doesn't make any money, end quote. KPFA has been designated as the best radio station in the USA by The Nation magazine. KPFA is funded by listener donations, which prevents corporate control of programming. In contrast, an estimated 90% of media assets are owned by six major corporate giants, many of the remaining 10% of corporate underwriting. In public radio, underwriting means on-air announcements that acknowledge financial support. It is advertising, but without specific promotion. A Wikipedia article cites criticism of underwriting as inhibiting influences on public affairs programming, even self-censorship, where investigative journalism is featured. Survey results from KPFA listeners indicate that KPFA members are strongly opposed to commercial underwriting to protect independent coverage of political, social, racial, and economic issues that other stations do not air. The KPFA local station board has passed a resolution in opposition to commercial underwriting. So we're extremely concerned about this. Our board has come out many times over the years in opposition to any form of commercial underwriting. It's a slippery slope, folks. And that's our position. That's my report. Carol, who would be next?
Thank you.
Sure.
I wanted to report from something that came up at the Pacifica Election Committee. They recommended that Pacifica send a cautionary warning about slander and libel to all Pacifica candidates.
Chris has had his hand up now for about 10 minutes. Chris Corey, can we acknowledge, get Chris's question, which is about the finances, before we move on to the next topic?
We weren't actually taking questions at this point.
When were we going to take questions? I guess that's my question.
But this is not a normal meeting. I mean, we're trying to pick a lot into a short amount of time.
Okay.
If you have a very quick question, go ahead, Chris.
No, I don't. I have a litany of questions. So I'm afraid that, I'll just have to pass based on that, unfortunately.
Just to clarify, this is a town hall meeting.
And I'm not
addressing, I know you understand, Chris. I want to make sure people understand that it's not, KPFA LSB meeting. We're focusing on reports and we'll be taking questions from, listeners and such. But, you know, generally we have a lot more questions. We're trying to make sure that we keep things tight. So that's why this is happening. So any questions about finances that you don't know, you can always send to, Darlene or Aki or, Sharon, who is on the NFC. And of course me and Carol, and we will get back to you, Chris, I promise you.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Go ahead, Carol, with your report.
Thanks. The Pacifica Election Committee recommended that Pacifica send a cautionary warning about slander and libel to all Pacifica candidates and local station boards. The Election Committee wants Pacifica to take action to prevent false accusations about staff, management, and board members. There is particular concern about false accusations against people of color and women in light of our country's tainted history. As a California nonprofit, Pacifica is required to abide by California law California law holds that a defamatory statement is a false statement that, when published, might tend to harm one's reputation or standing in the community. Slander per se is a defamatory statement referencing the plaintiff in a professional capacity, accuses him or her of a crime of moral turpitude. The First Amendment does not permit people to publish false, injurious statements about others freely. A defendant acts with malice if he or she intentionally publishes a defamatory statement knowing it is false or published it with reckless disregard as to the truth. Here are some examples of situations that have come up. First, there have been false accusations saying that a former manager refused to support a staff member who had been arrested. Investigation shows that there was supportive coverage interviewing the staff member on the air. The former manager had no conversations involving a refusal, and a motion made at a meeting was to put on-air announcements calling for listeners to ask the district attorney involved to drop charges against the staff member. That allegedly violates FCC regulations. Pacifica did not reply to KPFA LSB officer communications about this legal concern. Second, there is a false and misleading accusation saying that $305,000 was taken from KPFA because a former manager and some LSB members testified at a defamation hearing. Investigation shows that there was an arbitration case involving defamation that was involving defamation that was on the air at WBAI. The judgment was made based on defamation that took place. The hearings and appeals involved numerous witnesses, emails, and extensive documentation of the on-air incidents. After a judgment was made, U.S. Marshals took money from KPFA's bank accounts because KPFA was the station, the only station in the Pacifica network that had those funds. This false accusation doesn't even make sense. It's like saying, oh, a bank robber went to prison because a witness testified at their trial, instead of a bank robber went to jail because he robbed a bank. Third, there's been disparaging remarks about a new KPFA producer host. This new staff member was recently honored with the Distinguished Journalist for Audio Award. He is noted for his investigative exploration, including interviews with the former CIA whistleblower, exposing CIA cocaine link, and the CIA cover-ups of Saudi hijackers. He also aired a blistering report from the Department of Justice on racial discrimination and excessive force by Minneapolis police, the dangers of Republican talking points for the 2024 election, and human rights in China. This staff member expressed strong opposition to how the Pacifica Network's elections were run and how it affected KPFK. KPFK lost a lot of listeners and revenue after it left, after that person left. It hurts KPFA when people make false and misleading accusations about KPFA managers, staff members, and board members as a way to get votes. We need to stand strong when people come to our meetings to attack KPFA with false and misleading information. We ask that all people participating in KPFA meetings or any Pacifica meetings honor our group agreements, check your facts before you speak, and be willing to document accusations that have a potential to damage people's lives. Thank you. So we will now go to the next section regarding public comments, Christina.
Thank you. And at the beginning of public comments, we want to give candidates the opportunity to make a 2-minute statement about their candidacy. And Carol, you want to preface that as far as what can be said?
Yes, and before we set the timing, Christina, I would like to see everyone who would like to speak, including incumbent local station board members who would like to speak about your candidacy, to please raise your hand so we can see how many people there are and determine how long people will have to speak.
Thank you.
If you're on a phone, you can press *9 to raise your hand if you would like to speak. So
about 10 so far. How many do you see?
Yeah. Anybody else wanting to speak? Okay. Please raise your hand now. And
yes, so, I want to speak, but I can't find a raise hand.
Okay. Thank you for telling us. Is it Padma?
Correct. Thank you.
Padma. Okay. So, and
it looks like it's under reactions.
Thank you. And we'll take people who are not yet on the LSB first, who are running, and that would start with, let me see, Andrew W., I guess.
Okay, and so given that we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, anybody else, please unmute yourself now and let us know if you would like to speak during public comments if we do not see your hand.
Yeah, this is Stan Woods. I'm sorry, I was delayed. Taken away from the phone for a second, I would like to speak. I'm a candidate for the LSB.
We see your hand, Stan.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
We put you on there, Stan. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we can do 2 minutes each. Thank you.
Okay. And Andrew W. was first.
Is this for candidates only? I'm not a candidate.
Yes, it's for I'm sorry. We're starting with candidates. Okay, well, Emma Auer.
Emma, hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah.
I can hear you now.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Emma Ayana Auer. I am joining you from Kato Tribal Lands, which is also known as Laytonville. I grew up in Miwok Territory, known as Marin County, and I currently reside in Ohlone Territory, also known as Berkeley. It's an honor to be addressing you today as a possible candidate. A little bit information about myself. In 2022, I was elected to the KPFA Community Advisory Board and collected data from student groups shared with KPFA management. Many of these students were interested in hearing more programming and focus on mental health, healthcare, abortion rights, housing, student debt, and a centering of LGBTQI+ voices. I strongly support outreach to youth and students to meet their desires for public broadcasting. In 2023, I attended the Bioneers Conference and hope to continue to build KPFA's valuable relationship addressing the climate change emergency and cultural vitality. At UC Berkeley, I helped to support the Dakota Access Pipelines or protests against the Dakota Access Pipelines by putting my body on the front lines as a land and water protector. Currently, I've been a teacher at Oakland and in Berkeley, and I continue to advocate for crucial staff and student needs. I bring my in-depth experience of connecting with diverse community organizations to KPFA. I am also endorsed by the KPFA protectors, including Eileen Alfandari, Sasha Lilly, Philip Maldari, and more. Thank you for your valuable time and for your support.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you for speaking for the First Nations people and the land also. The
Carla?
Pardon?
Carlos would be next, the next candidate.
All right, Carlos, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Carlos.
Thank you. All right.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry. Yes. Should I be timing? Point of order.
Yes, yes, please do. I'm sorry, Sharon. I probably should have said that.
Oh, and 2 minutes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Carlos, starting now. Carlos.
Thank you. My name is Carlos Cohen, and I'm speaking because I'm running for a candidate for the local station board, the KPFA elections in September. I think many of you know me, but very, very briefly, I was born and raised in Argentina. I have a master's degree in physics. I have a master's degree in electrical engineering. And I've been in the Northern California for over 30 years. And the day I tuned to KPFA, I never left. I've been a strong supporter of KPFA for over 30 years. The reason I'm running is because I'm very, very concerned about Pacifica's financial troubles. I don't know the PNB members. I imagine they are doing the best they can, but the fact is that stations cannot be losing money for years and years and years and not make the changes necessary. This is draining the whole network and is driving us to bankruptcy. And it's not me saying it, it's obvious. It's obvious that we are losing money, we are selling buildings, we have our bank accounts taken, withdrawn from. So many, many KPFA listeners are telling me that they feel that KPFA needs to be more financially independent. I agree with that. I have ideas and I have proposals to make all stations more financially independent and programming independent. So again, I'm running for the KPFA LSB board with those concerns. My name is Carlos Cohen, and I'm being endorsed by the KPFA Protectors Group. So I humbly ask for your support for these coming elections. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. And Carol, I believe you have a listing of the candidates, which I don't have here. Would you call on the next candidate that is not yet on the board?
Yes, Cheryl Davila. Cheryl, go ahead and unmute.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Cheryl Davila, former council member in the city of Berkeley and founder of the Climate Emergency Mobilization Task Force. Welcome to the city of Berkeley. Ohlone territory was my legislation when I was on council. And I'm happy to be here in Ohlone territory. Been here for 42 years, been listening to KPFA since I was a teenager. In New York, listening to the Pacifica radio, listening to WBAI when I was a teenager in New York. And, you know, I'm a candidate for the, KPFA local station board. I was introduced, as a teenager, like I said. My relationship has been pretty much all my life, listening to KPFA. And now I've passed that on to my children and, that's how it should be. It's a, you know, our community needs diverse, ethical, folks with integrity and honesty to step up to ensure that KPFA continues to exist and thrive. And as a former council member in the city of Berkeley, I recognize the importance of a listener-sponsored radio station, its value to our community, and have witnessed the support not only locally, but worldwide. As an LSB member, I would work hard to continue the legacy and longevity of KPFA. And I personally can't imagine a world without it. Yes, KPFA has its challenges, but it continues to survive. And we need KPFA and its programming. I'm humbled to be here in this space and hear Miko. I mean, I appreciated that whole presentation so much, and the vision that was presented is a vision that will enrich lives and help continue the legacy of
that was time. Sorry, that was time.
Thank you.
Sorry, that
was time. Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for being here. And I think Michael Cheng is next. Is he a candidate, Carol? Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael Cheng.
All right, sorry now.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Cheng, and I'm running for the KPFA local station board. I'm a retired chemist. In the current news dissemination arena, political bias, and you probably noticed, and commerce influence very heavy. And in my opinion, that really destroys the news dissemination. Therefore, purely listener support of station is necessary to provide unbiased and relevant news. KPFA has always been a listener supported station, and we need to keep it that way. No commercial intrusions. I think KPFA has good genes, and in the correct ecosystem, it will flourish and sustain this kind of operation. I'm endorsed by the KPFA protectors. And again, my name is Michael Cheng. Please vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And Virginia Browning is next.
Oh, I think we're going through candidates first, Christina. So the next, Virginia, are you a candidate? Oh, maybe she is.
I think she is.
Oh, Virginia, sorry. Okay. Virginia is a candidate. Sorry.
Would you unmute yourself, Virginia? Go ahead.
Did I unmute myself?
Yeah, we'll get you. We're hearing you now. Go ahead.
So, that was great that Miko, spoke about those, the push to get things into the digital age, the interactive age, that is a way to get money. And it's the age that KPFA has needed to be in for ages. And so our Rescue Pacifica, slate of candidates has been pushing for this for many years. As far as, good news reports, progressive, different points of view. You talk about dissent, the need for dissent. I don't know if people know that many people have tried to get reports such as on local housing, on local, sometimes when they were in other countries trying to report on conferences going on in other countries, and some of the ingrained people in the news department sneered at them and did not allow people in. So it is really important to encourage unpaid, full-hearted community members to assist staff in getting good news that represents dissent and other points of view. Now, the 6 minutes of news that we tend to have at the heads of every hour are mostly, they're mostly corporate, made. They're gotten from the corporate sources. And I worked at a community radio station, so I know that it's really hard to gather, to record, to condense, and to air news. I know it's time consuming and difficult. So that's why there does need to be a really good coordinated effort between paid and unpaid staff, not a kind of closing out of unpaid staff and shoving them off to the side. There's a reporter now that reports, she's actually traveled to the Horn of Africa, and she reports regularly on the Black Agenda Report.
Thank you. Your time is up. I think Candace Schott is next. Go ahead, Candace.
Hi. And I'd like to say I agree with many of the speakers so far. It's really been an enlightening meeting. My name's Candace Schott, and I'm running for the KPFA Local Station Board. I'm a longtime listener and supporter who relies on KPFA for news and analysis. My experience in administration with both municipal and nonprofit organizations can help KPFA thrive and help to address some of the complex issues facing the Pacifica Network. I support digitizing the historic audio tapes in the archives. Their preservation is vital for future broadcasts and an important asset when fundraising, as well as a resource for schools and libraries. Independent media is a rarity these days, and I will help to ensure that KPFA continues its legacy of in-depth coverage without the constraints of commercial underwriting. I want to help KPFA expand its demographic and geographic listenership, especially to youth and communities of color. And I was very glad to hear Miko's report looking into all of that. Please vote for me, Candace Schott. I am endorsed by the KPFA Protectors, Eileen Alfandary, Brian Edwards-Tiekert, and Sasha Lilly. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace. And I believe that Anthony Fest is next. You correct me if I get something wrong, Carol. You're in there. Anthony?
Yes, I'm Anthony Fest. I'm a program producer at KPFA. I've been there since 1994. I'm a candidate for staff seat on the local station board. Well, this meeting was informative, but it was not a town hall. A real town hall would be for the LSB to listen to the community and learn what they'd like to hear on their radio station. A presentation from management or staffs or board members speaking to one another, that was okay, and it was good to hear the innovative programs that are underway now from management. But still, that's not a town hall. A real town hall is for the audience to speak and tell the LSB what they want, because it is their radio station. And it should have been announced on air. If it isn't, it's not really a town hall, because hardly anyone would know about it. So what we've had here was just another LSB meeting and falsely calling itself a town hall. Well, I'm a candidate for a staff LSB seat, and I'm allied with the Rescue Pacifica team of subscriber candidates. I say we need an LSB that actually follows the bylaws. This LSB is not doing that. Just one example, the LSB is required to evaluate the general manager every year, but the last GM was here for 9 years and was only evaluated once. So again, we need the Rescue Pacifica team to be elected to the LSB, so the LSB will actually start following the bylaws as written. Well, as a listener, I have a few comments. How can KPFA not have a labor show? And it was good to hear LGBT programming during Pride Week, or Pride Month, that is, but what about the other 11 months of the year? Why is there no weekly LGBT show on KPFA throughout the year? And finally, how can KPFA get out from under this long-standing rule that a music program can only stay in the archives for 2 weeks? Something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have, who's next, Carol?
Next would be,
Pathma, I believe.
Yes, Pathma.
Pathma. Go ahead, Pathma.
Hello, my name is Pathma Vinasitambi, and I'm standing as a candidate at KPFA. I was born in Malaysia. I'm of Tamil heritage. I lived in England for 6 years, and now I live in Auckland. I'm a software engineer. I recently retired from UC Berkeley after some 20 years, and I've been a long-time supporter of KPFA for some 20 years or so. I was brought into KPFA one day as I was driving down the road, and I was listening to Amy Goodman, and the news was just so devastating that I had to stop my car and listen to it. She was interviewing another reporter in a jail in Indonesia, and since he was white, they did not take his cell phone, a satellite phone, and he was conducting that interview from a jail. Subsequently, the news that was broadcast through KPFA, I think influenced President Clinton to stop the boys, the Suharto, etc., in Indonesia. Now, I've lived in that part of the world. I know what it's like, and I really find that KPFA is a rarity in our corporate media industrial complex that we live in. So my three main concerns and why I'm standing for this board is I'm concerned about the survival of KPFA. I do want to maintain the quality of programming that brought me here in the first place. And finally, I'd like to see more of a cohesive listener community driving to protect the organization for a truly independent programming, which means that we are independent of all kinds of powerful organizations. As I've noticed, some of these can change, and there's a lot of power that wants to co-opt this. So at this urgent time for KPFA, I offer a fresh mindset and some hard work on my part to help the KPFA project. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Padma. I appreciate it. And I believe Steve Zeltzer is next, I believe. Steve Zeltzer? I mean, Cheryl, could you mute yourself, please? Thank you. Steve Zeltzer is next, I believe.
Okay, my name is Steve Zeltzer. I'm a journalist, labor journalist, who used to do a show called Work Week on KPFA. It was removed by the previous manager without notice, said they wanted to go in another direction. There's never been a replacement labor show on KPFA. In the midst of the biggest labor upsurge in the history of the United, in recent memory, no labor program on KPFA, which I think is a statement of some of the problems. We're facing the danger of fascism and world war and more war propaganda on KPFA by Ian Masters, who's a supporter propagandist, in my view, of the CIA and the FBI.
I'm sorry, we have a rule here that you do not defame.
This is the statement of the candidate. I have a right as a statement of the candidate to make my statement.
Mute Steve, please.
It's a candidate statement, and it's a candidate statement, and it's
Elizabeth. I'm going to repeat our rule that we stated it very clearly at the beginning.
This is a town hall.
Would you please mute her?
This is a town.
This is not, it doesn't matter. Wait, could you mute Elizabeth, please?
This.
Thank you. I'm going to restate our statement. Pacifica Foundation was sued successfully for defamation per se, and we lost $300,000 recently for allowing people to make reckless statements and attacks on people by name. Our rule that we passed in a motion for both members and for listeners said that you cannot make reckless statements that are unsupported by facts. You cannot name people, make personal attacks on people, which is what Mr. Zeltzer just did. So he is out of order. The rules are not different for political elections at our station board. The rules of our meeting hold. So we're going to move to the next candidate because Mr. Zeltzer refuses repeatedly to conform and has made accusations in the past against NEDA that they were manipulating the books. And we had trouble with that before, so I'm going to move to the next candidate. So I guess we're going to go to, are there any other candidates running for office?
Carol? Edward Escobar.
Thank you. So we'll call on Edward Escobar, please. Go ahead. Edward, could you unmute yourself? Edward?
Edward appears to be trying to unmute. Edward, if you're on a phone, Edward, click *6.
He's unmuted now.
Okay.
It appears.
Go ahead, Edward.
Hi, my name's Edward Escobar. I'm a candidate with the Rescue Pacifica slate of candidates. I've been a strong advocate for workers' rights from the get-go. I've been a union member, Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA, from a long ago. I've been a David against Goliath, taking on the tech titans of Uber, was the first to defeat them in court, 2016. Done so much and on the forefront and cutting edge of taking on the tech titans of Silicon Valley. But we really need more labor voices to be heard, and I'm really excited about Miko's programming directional approach, and that I'd like to see more creativity, that it's not all about money, but creativity and coordinating volunteers and having creative ideas to basically open up doors for new possibilities. But I think we really need to focus on sustainability and keeping it as public oriented and connected as a voice of the people, for the people, and by the people, moving forward. And with my energy and my exposure background, I think I could definitely make a difference towards the future. So I look for support for me as a candidate, Edward Escobar. Thank you.
Thank you, Edward. And now we're going to go, I believe that is the last person who is not yet on the board, and we're going to go to Pierre.
No, it's Stan Woods. I'm a candidate.
Oh, Stan Woods. Stan, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, hi. I'm glad you rectified that. Anyway, I'm Stan Woods. I'm a former member of the LSB in the previous decade, also the Program Council, which I'd like to see revived, but don't have enough time to get on that right now. I'm also a former executive board member of International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 6, and I've also been involved in numerous social justice activities. I worked full-time on the campaign against the recall of Chesa Boudin, and I hope to contribute to the campaign against the recall of Pamela Price, both for right-wing travesties of justice, the fact they tried to get rid of them. And unfortunately, we're successful in Chesa Boudin's case. As far as KPFA goes, I want to make sure the station stays a true left alternative. And that means, first and foremost to me, is the issues of war and peace. I realize there's numerous divisions on the left regarding the war in the Ukraine. I would like to see some novel concept like debates on the air. I would, I'm perfectly willing to listen to people who support the U.S. military intervention in Ukraine, but I also want to see people like Chris Hedges on the air also, or Cornel West. And I want to keep KPFA solely on the left. I also want it to be still a listener democracy, or to become a real listener democracy. It's funny, during fundraising drives, we constantly hear, this is your station, referring to listeners. Outside of fundraising drives, not so much. It's usually leave it to the professionals. Time? Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. I'm sorry that I didn't
say it. No, it wasn't time. I'm sorry. It wasn't time. You still have like a half a minute.
How much longer do I have?
30 seconds.
Okay. Go ahead, Stan.
Okay. So I'm very much for having listeners play a real role. I'm for the board being both a governing board, not just advisory board, and also be involved in fundraising. But I have a different approach of fundraising than some. I'm not so much interested in upper middle class professionals donating spare cars. I don't have one myself, a spare car that is. But I'd like to see, well, some years ago when I ran, I made the comment that I'd rather have 1,000 people give $25 than 25 people give $1,000. The then GM counterposed, say, well, au contraire, I'd rather have 25 people give $1,000 because they're more reliable, more dependable. I'd rather have the opposite. I'd rather reach out people who... Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. Now we're going to go to Philip Muldery.
Yes, I'm an incumbent on the local station board elected by the staff, and I've been very interested in Biko's presentation, as I think everybody listening was. Let me just say that the problem is that we are facing financial collapse. And financial collapse is real, and it's not caused by KPFA. KPFA is solvent. KPFA pays its bills. KPFA has programming that people actually listen to. The problem at WBAI, and I encourage you to actually listen to WBAI, WBAI.org, you can listen to it 24 hours a day. It has, with the exception of Democracy Now!, which airs at 5 a.m. our time, 8 a.m. their time, it has a plethora of talking heads who are actually talking to themselves or talking to a small group of friends who have been on the air for decades and actually think that they're doing God's work, that they are the left, they are progressive, they are doing all the right things, and people are not listening in droves. They are not, they are in the largest media market in the country, and they do not raise money. They have a signal that reaches all the way from Connecticut to Philadelphia, and they are not raising money because people are not listening. So it's not KPFA's fault that WBAI is in arrears, $6 million to the foundation. They are pulling us down. And if we can't elect local board members who have the job of selecting from among our own national board members who will, in fact, say what's so obvious, that WBAI and possibly KPFK could end up causing the bankruptcy of the entire foundation. So whatever Stan wants or whatever anybody wants for KPFA is all well and good. But if the bill collectors come in and take us down, it doesn't do any good. So I am a protector. I'm endorsed by the KPFA protectors. Vote for the protector slate.
Thank you very much, Philip. And next it's Mark Van Landuit.
Hey, everybody. Mark Van Landuit, longtime producer for programming on Pacifica. When I speak to our conservative counterparts, they always speak about their values of tradition, of heritage, of continuity. And this has always rankled me because we on the left, we also have a heritage, civil rights movement, the women's liberation movement, the anti-war movement, the environmental movement. We also have a heritage and tradition that we guard, that we seek to preserve under much more difficult conditions than them. KPFA and Pacifica is the longest standing left institution in the United States that has any cultural import. Our heritage, our traditions, our values of voices of the community, of voices not controlled by forces of capital, of counter-narrative voices to power, voices that engage, that excite, that edify. These voices and these values will be needed more now than ever before because we are entering a period of history more dangerous, more serious than any of us can fully grasp at this moment. From climate collapse to authoritarianism, everything important is on the line. And I share everyone's enthusiasm about the report that we heard earlier at this meeting from Miko, delineating a new direction. As many of you know, I'm sort of a Johnny One Note about the need to transition to a multi-platform digital media model. A model that does not disregard radio, but doesn't disregard the realities that we're in. So for my candidacy, I simply said, I am committed to our survival. And with that, I thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Sharon Adams.
Okay. Timer. Yes. Well, of course, I just want to say from on hard act to follow. Mark, fantastic. And Mark does know so much about media and many things that he did not mention about himself. So glad you're running. I don't really have prepared remarks. You already heard me speak a lot about the finances. I would like to continue on the KPFA to be elected to the board so I could continue working on the finances. I just had to respond to a comment made by one of the previous candidates that the KPFA LSB did not evaluate the prior general manager. We actually did evaluate the prior general manager, and, you know, as with so many things in Pacifica, there was problems. And even though I don't like to talk in terms of sides, it's all in the chat about the sides. It's just the reality in some ways of what it is. Basically had issues with how it was done, and then there was other issues, and then it was just, we asked the HR person at the time to give us feedback on how to proceed, and they really didn't give us that feedback. So we had actually completed an evaluation, and it was, taken away by the internal politics of Pacifica. Whereas, in contrast, WBAI also has not evaluated their manager. But for some reason, the Rescue Pacifica candidates always seem to have the issues with what KPFA is doing, and they seem to ignore what's happening at the other stations. And I think that is one of the biggest problems between these two slates. Nobody says KPFA is perfect, but we need to address the larger issues, and those cannot be resolved with this kind of factional fighting and without dealing with reality, like the reality that the WBAI general manager has not been evaluated and he's running a deficit for 10 years. You know, if you're going to prioritize evaluations, you might want to put that one first. Just a thought. Okay, that's my time. I'm endorsed by KPFA protectors and would truly appreciate your vote.
Thank you, Sharon. Lily Kimura. Lily?
Yes, sorry. My name is Lily Kimura, and I'm a fourth year member of the KPFA Local Station Board, and I'm also a member of the Pacific Elections Committee. I'd like your continuing support and vote because I'm an adamant opponent of any kind of corporate underwriting for KPFA, because I also believe it's a slippery slope and contraindication to any kind of independent radio we may have. I also would like to continue to work with other members of the board in trying to fix the underperforming stations that in the past has had a catastrophic effect on KPFA's budget, and that we had to pay out over 200 grand settlement from our hard-earned donations for this judgment. I was born in Japan. I'm a self-employed Asian American woman attorney who's lived in the Bay Area and practiced law in the Bay Area for decades. I'm a past member of the City of Oakland Public Ethics Commission. I've been a speaker at state bar conventions on ethics, and I've also am a past president of the Alameda County Bar Association. I don't always agree with all the programs that are on KPFA, but I truly believe that we need to have an independent radio station that is going to reflect all the viewpoints, even those that sometimes I disagree with. I am supported by the KPFA Protectorate, and specifically by Eileen Alfandry, Sasha Lilly, and Brian Edwards Tiekert, and among others. But more importantly, I'd like to continue to work on KPFA board to bring a realistic approach. I've always been a self-employed attorney. I've run my own business, so I know what the reality of finances that people like Darlene and Sharon talk about. And I believe my experience for the last few decades can contribute in a realistic way of how we can continue as a radio station and be able to be an independent radio station. Because if we don't have any money to run it, it doesn't matter what kind of voice we have. We're not going to have any voice at all. Again, I'm Lily Kimura, and I'm requesting your continued support and vote to be on the KPFA Local Station Board.
Thank you.
I can't believe it. I was within my time.
You did great.
And that is very that's a reason enough to vote for me. I'm a lawyer, and I didn't go over my time. Thank you.
Well done. I'm going to take one more question from Chip Burns. We actually only have until 1, and then we're going to wrap up, and I'll give my usual response at the end of the discussion.
Go ahead. I'm a candidate.
Well, your hand isn't up, but you go ahead, Elizabeth. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay. I'm Elizabeth Milos. I'm trying to turn this off here. My name is Elizabeth Milos, and I'm running on the Rescue Pacifica slate of candidates. We are also a group. We're in the minority in the present supermajority of the LSB, and what you just saw previously in how the chair shut down a candidate statement which goes against the election rules is what we encounter as the minority every single time we meet. In fact, you might hear a lot of voices about saying, you know how people, you can have progressives except for Palestine. Well, you have this progressive veneer that's happening at KPFA, where they literally shut down the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, which is a social justice program that was decades, which had Peabody Award winners, which had broad-based community respect and participation. And instead, they ended up giving nine hours to a host of a program who resigned from the other KPFK for telling listeners not to donate to KPFK, to Pacifica, which was directly against the rules. And this particular person does have CIA links. And also is a warmonger, as a Chilean American, I find that to be very disgusting that KPFA would be doing that. And the same people who are claiming to be so progressive at this particular station also have brought forth a petition to deny
WBAI, its broadcast license. So everybody's talking about the financial problems, but the response to that is not to cannibalize the stations or to behave like vulture capitalists by basically clamping down and trying to get the federal government to take away the license of one of our sister stations or to close it down like it happened in 2016. Thank you.
Thank you, time. And Chip, you'll be the last one to speak and then I'll wrap it up. Go ahead, Chip.
Thank you very much. I really was coming to this meeting with a bit of pessimism until I heard the presentations from Darlene, Zach, Sharon, Carlos, and Philip. My principal issue is the long-term financial health of the Pacifica network. And I think financial solvency should be a principal topic for discussion at every meeting, at every level. Instead, we're cutting staff and selling buildings. If we don't fix the financial problems, nothing else matters because there won't be a network to broadcast on. And the longer we wait to address these problems, the more draconian the solutions will be. I'd also like to do a shout out to Miko for a tremendous presentation. I was previously unaware of what kind of structure exists behind the curtain from a listener's point of view. And I think that kind of structure is essential for being able to formulate plans to address these financial problems. Thank you very much.
Christina, point of order?
Parliamentary inquiry, you mean, or point of, go ahead, what is it?
I just want to check, I believe, Edward Escobar already spoke, is that correct?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Edward, you may want to lower your hand. Okay, so...
You're actually at time, Carolyn, I'm just
going to... I move to adjourn.
No, I want to wrap up first. Okay, I'm the chair, so I'm just going to wrap up a couple of things. I want to say I appreciate everybody here who came to express their opinion and is willing to run for office. It's a voluntary position. And while we may have very profound disagreements on how things should run, we don't have to be disagreeable about it. It's what my president of my union always said when we had union conventions. You don't have to be disagreeable to disagree. So first, I want to respond to the accusation that I violated some rule or something by enforcing the rules of our own board. But this is a nonprofit election. It is not, it's a private nonprofit election. It is not the same as public entities in election. And we have rules at our board that we enforce. This is why I have a parliamentarian sitting next to me to keep me on point. And I have no desire to stop anybody from having their opinion. But when you start naming names, as the federal judge in the court that found against us for the $300,000 judgment against Pacifica, the First Amendment does not cover defamation. So we are protecting the organization by making sure that we do not attack people pell-mell in an arbitrary and capricious way without being able to substantiate the accusations. We have a rule, no personal attacks. We enforce that rule. It is a nonprofit, private corporation. We're able to do that legally. We did nothing that was against those rules. And with all the litigations that have been raised for defamation over the years, I believe it's a reasonable and smart rule, and we passed it as a motion. So I wanted to say that, and I'll end with, I think that we're protecting a valuable jewel of KPFA. We're all here for the same reason. It can do things other stations can't do because corporations can't come in and say, oh no, you can't say that or we won't give you money. It's profoundly important to me to maintain support of KPFA and to not spend all of our time attacking it. So I thank you all for being here today. I really thank all of the candidates from different rescue or protectors faction because you're all doing something that you believe in and you're running for office. And I think that it was a good meeting and there's no prescription, by the way, by how town halls will be run. We ran it as best we could and we made sure we got critical information to people, presented to the anybody who could be here today, got to hear the same message the same way. And again, thank you very much for being here. We had a motion to adjourn on the floor from Carol. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the motion to adjourn?
Objection. We should have a real town hall.
Thank you. Then we will vote. Carol, would you take roll call on vote, please, as to whether we adjourn?
Okay. Donna Carter.
Oppose.
Okay. Donna, oppose. Donna, a no. Aki Tanaka.
Yes.
Aki, yes. Andrea Turner.
Andrea, are you there?
I'll come back. Carol Wolfley, yes. Catherine Tuktokin?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Chris Corey?
Abstain.
Chris Corey abstain. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christine, Daniel Borgstrom?
Daniel is opposed.
Daniel, no. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene, yes. Donald Goldmacher. By the way, Donald did join the meeting before.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Elizabeth Milos.
No.
Elizabeth, no. Lily Kimura.
Yes.
Lily, yes. Mark Van Landwit.
Yes.
Mark, yes. Zach Caldevere.
Yes.
Philip Maldari. I think Philip's gone. Let's see, that's it. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes, and 1, 2, 3, no's.
The motion, affirmative 10, negative 3, the motion passes. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for being here today. Take care. Bye-bye.